We are going through Paul's letter to the Ephesians. We're in chapter 5. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, where we left off. Last week, we took a little break. Dr. Juventine was here. I hope you got blessed by that. I did. Dr. Juventine is a really neat guy, and what he shared really, there's some things he shared that really spoke to me, and I just really appreciate how God is using him over there, and that we get to be a part of that is really great. But we're back on track. We're back in our study. Letter to the church at Ephesus, chapter 5. We left off at verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Look at verse 8 with me again as we come to this next paragraph as we just journey through the Word of God together. Verse 8 says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We're going to kind of camp there this morning. We'll be looking at some of the other verses, but we're going to really kind of camp on that verse. With the goal being this, I want us just to soak in what that verse is declaring. Sometimes we take things for granted or we get used to things. I want us this morning to all be kind of stirred up to really consider what this is declaring. Really heart consider this declaration. It says, you were once darkness, but now you are light. What should the result be? Walk like it. What's he say? Walk. Walk as children of light. No matter what your past contains, no matter what you've done, or even what was done to you, no matter what we might look back upon in our lives, this is how God sees us now. There's been a change. For every believer, for every person who's received that work of the cross, that payment that Jesus made for us on the cross, if you receive that, the entrance of him into our lives has worked a change that is phenomenal. Almost really, we can almost take it in because of our humanness, so to speak. But I want us this morning to have it hit us afresh. For what's set before us here is, it points to what we used to be versus what we are now. And again, I just pray we'll soak in it, and by the time we're through, we'll be rejoicing over this change. I've called our time together this morning. You are light in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would move now. That you would cause the Holy Spirit to move amongst us and upon us and within us. And we come to you so thankful that you know us. We don't have to rehearse each of our situations, for you know us. And in you there's encouragement, there's healing, there's hope. For all that, we thank you. So Lord, pray you keep away the distractions now, be they external or internal, and help us to hear what you'd say to us. And I know you have something for us. So help us be receivers, and help us go out here and just walk in, rest in, rejoice in what you're about to set before us. All glory to you, in Jesus' name. Amen. In this paragraph, verses 8 through 14 here of Paul's letter, the Lord, through Paul, is continuing to call us to walk in a certain way. Remember, the theme of Ephesians is this. Paul, for three chapters, just soaked us in all that God has done for us. The riches of his grace, it was called. All the forgiveness and the acceptance, the adoption, the giving of the Holy Spirit, the inheritance, all the things that he's done for us and given to us and put into us. And when it was only after three chapters of soaking us in God's love, as he comes to chapter 4, only then does Paul say, now, that's supposed to look like something. There should be a result in us. And he frames it as, hey, put off the old stuff and now put on the new. Put on the new man, created in the Lord. And so what he's saying is all those changes should look like something, should result in change. There'll be choices that reflect the fact that we are brand new creations in Christ. In verse 8, it begins with the word for. For you were darkness. But I want to highlight the word for there because it's a connecting word. First, that for in verse 8 ties us to what was said before. As chapter 5 began, Paul said you're to walk in a certain way. The first one was walk, way back in verse 4, chapter 4, verse 1, it was walk worthy. Chapter 5, it's walk in love. And after he said that, he said, look at verse 6. He's saying, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, meaning this, those who, as I mentioned in verse 5, the unclean person, those who aren't saved and all, those who walk in those things, for because of those things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. In essence, he says, look, you're not like that anymore. You're not about those things anymore. So don't join those who are. Don't partake of those things with them. Don't buy into this argument that, well, everybody does it. It's okay. What's the big deal? Hey, I've got better for you, he's saying. I've got better for you. So don't be like that anymore. Why? On what basis? That's where verse 8 comes in. That's where verse 8 picks it up. Look at it. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk like it. Live like it. Walk as children of the light. What an awesome declaration this is. And again, I don't know if we can really understand how dark we were, what condition we were in, the change that God has worked. And for some, maybe it's been a while, so we've gotten used to it. May He refresh us and stun us with it again. What does the text say we used to be like? Does the text say we once walked in darkness? Does it say that? Nope. It says you were darkness. Just that we were a little bit caught up in it. Well, you just kind of were, no, you were. You were once darkness. Darkness represents ignorance of God. Darkness is speaking of our spiritual condition then. Sin had made, we were black with sin. We were lost, dead in trespasses and sins. We were darkness. We personified ignorance of God, is the idea. We were darkness. Once you were darkness, but now you what? Are light. Now think about that a moment. Not just kind of, yes, He's shown His light into our lives. All that's true. We're looking at some of that right now. But the ultimate result is we are light. Because we are born of Him, we are partakers of His very nature, and that light now has shown into our lives, and we become light. We have the spiritual DNA, so to speak, now of our Heavenly Father. And we are light. Wonder of wonders, we are light. Think about that. And because of it, walk. Walk as children of light. Now, the word light here, Kenneth Wiest, a good Bible scholar, says this. Light can refer to literal light, but here is used figuratively, easy for you to say, as those enlightened with the truth. But then he adds, but Paul goes even a step further to describe the Gentile believers as light itself, not a mere lamp. God uses that description of Himself oftentimes in Scripture. We can't go into a whole study of light right now. We don't have the time. But I'll highlight a few verses to show us how God does indeed use that to talk about His nature and what that has done for us, in us. Consider some verses. John is particularly touched by this description as he encountered Jesus of what that He was the light. He's the light of the world. John 1, remember he begins by talking about Jesus coming here and all. By verse 4, John says, in Him, in Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. They didn't get it. But this is the initial beginning of John's gospel, and he right away jumps into this description that Jesus is the light. Later on, John in chapter 8 tells the story of how Jesus is encountered by a group of people Pharisees who bring a woman caught in adultery to Jesus. They're trying to trap Jesus. And they say, Moses said to stone him. What do you say? And that's that very well-known passage. We love the passage for the message it gives us, where Jesus bends down and he starts to write in the dirt. And they're saying, come on, what do you think we should do to her? We're supposed to stone her. What do you want to do? And he goes, well, finally he says, let him who hasn't sinned cast the first stone. And pretty soon they start wandering off till no one's left. And then Jesus says, where are your accusers? And she goes, I have none. And Jesus says, I don't accuse you either. And we go, yeah, there's hope for all of us. There's forgiveness in Jesus. But then he says the next night, he says, now go and sin no more. Let there be a change. I've touched you. I've forgiven you. Now live like it. And on the very next verse, he says, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. You're forgiven. It's cleansed. But now go walk in the change that I make, because I'm the light of the world. And he who follows me won't walk in darkness. Again, there's supposed to be a change. And so he demonstrates that. He declares that. And he often uses this word, light. Later on in John chapter 12, John likes the word light. And I would describe Jesus and all. Later on in John 12, Jesus says, I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. So one goal, one reason coming, he said, I'm a light. So you can be brought out of your darkened condition, darkened because of sin, darkened because you don't know God. He's saying to us, you don't know me, but I've come to shed light, to bring you out of that, that you could walk in this light that I give. So as we come to our text this morning in verse 8, he's declaring that his presence in our lives doesn't just, it does do this, it ushers light into our lives, there's a result in that, and that it makes us light. We are now light. That being so, the following verses apply. Let's look at them. Verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. You notice that it's a parenthetical comment, where Paul now is just going to explain for a moment what it means to walk in the light, to have this fruit of the Spirit going on in our lives. In essence, he's saying, here's what marks children of the light, these things. Now, by the way, where it says in our New King James, it says, for the fruit of the Spirit is, and then it mentions them. If you have another translation like the NIV, the New American Standard, what word do you have there instead of Spirit? It's okay if you have it. Light. Kenneth Wiest, again, Bible scholar, points out that's a better translation of that word there, that really what he's saying, he says, walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the light is this. Again, God's light into our life, him making us light, will look like something. Not to earn being a light, but because his light has broken in, it will have this kind of fruit. And what does he name here? Three things: goodness, righteousness, and truth. Walking as children of light, our lives will be marked by those three things. Now there's more to the fruit of the Spirit over in Galatians. You can read all that. But these three here highlight something. First of all, if we are light, which we are if you're a believer, and you're walking in that light, our lives are to be marked with what's called goodness here. The word translated goodness is a word here that really speaks of an aggressive type of goodness. What I mean is this. It's a goodness that actively seeks to meet the needs of others. So if we are indeed light, and we are, that it's to result in us actively seeking how we might minister, touch, meet the needs of others. The next thing that's a fruit of being light is there'll be a righteousness. Now remember, there's a couple different kind of righteousness in Scripture. There's positional righteousness, which is just granted to us by receiving Christ as Savior. We're now, the righteousness of Christ is credited to our account. We're declared righteous. But there's that practical righteousness, that living out of it. It means to live rightly. It means to walk according to what God has said. If we're walking in the light, if you're walking in the light, you're going to put your foot where God says to, where shines the light. You'll walk according to him, according to his word. And thirdly, there's to be truth. The word there is a word that means there'll be honesty. There'll be integrity. We will be reliable, is the idea. Now, that was all a parenthesis that's explaining what walking as children of light will look like. Now, verse 10. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Interesting. You're now light. Walk as a child of the light. And as you do, you will discover what pleases Him. Reminds us a lot of over in Romans 12, 1 and 2, where it talks about living in such a way that we can discover His perfect will. And that's the idea here. Our goal should be to please the Lord. As you walk in the light, as He reveals how to walk, we walk in such a way that it does indeed please Him. We find out what is acceptable or pleasing to the Lord. But then we get to verses 11 through 13, where it says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful work of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light." You remember he began this section right before this by saying, don't be partakers with that old stuff, with the people that used to be in that. Don't go with the old crowd and get in those old things again. We point out that that's what led to this section. Well, it kind of returns there again. After declaring, now that you're changed, he goes back to, and don't do that other stuff. Don't go back into that. Again, it's a ripoff. It's less than, far less than what he has for us. Far less than his best. We're not to have fellowship, he says, with the unfruitful works of darkness. Instead, reprove them, expose them. Now, I want you to leave your Bible ribbon right there, a bulletin right there, and if you choose to, turn with me to 2 Corinthians for a moment. For this same Paul, kind of, it's always good to go, if we go in Scripture to get a little better explanation and a teaching that amplifies on what text said. Well, back in, over in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting at verse 14, we have here Paul kind of explaining the same idea. And since we have it provided for us, let's just remind ourselves of it. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting at verse 14. Where he says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness?" Now remember, you used to be darkness, now you're light. What communion do the two have together? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, "I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Much there, but I'm zeroing in on his declaration he made in the other back in Ephesians, that we're not to have fellowship with the works of darkness anymore. And he points this out here. He says, what communion does light have with dark? What fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And the answer, of course, is self-evident. There is none. There is no connection anymore. A change has occurred, he's saying. Now, does this mean that we're never to talk to someone who hasn't received Christ? We're not to talk to unbelievers? Of course not. Does that mean we can't talk to coworkers or extended family members if they don't know the Lord? We can't get together and watch a ball game or something? No, he's not saying all of that. But what's he say? But you can't have fellowship with them. Why? Because the basis for fellowship isn't there. Not Christian fellowship. Not the way it properly is to be used. There is no basis for fellowship. Because our basis for fellowship is the shed blood of Jesus. You and I have a bond. If you're a believer, we have a fellowship we share. But it's not just a social fellowship. Unfortunately, some people think of church like that. It's all just the social aspect. Well, my friends are there. We get to have some good, clean fun together. We have potlucks or something. And that's kind of all it means. It's not a social gospel. That's not what bonds us. Those things are fine in their place. But what bonds us together? That we like the same music? No. That we're just somewhat alike? No. Our bond is the shed blood of Jesus. So therefore, someone who hasn't received of that work, there is no basis for fellowship. And so he's simply pointing that out. Therefore, you shouldn't be entering into relationships in such a way, like he says here. You're not to be yoked with an unbeliever if you're a believer, because there is not that common bond together. Share Jesus always with everybody, but don't compromise. Don't have fellowship with those unfruitful works. Let's turn back to our Ephesians passage. Did you notice that contrast, by the way? Verse 11 says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. All those in spiritual darkness can produce are unfruitful works. That's why he's using the terminology. The unfruitful works of darkness. See, fruit comes from, as a believer, we have fruit under the Lord because we abide in Him. Our roots are down deep in Him. And just like an apple tree bears fruit because it's healthy, its roots are down deep in the soil, getting nutrients and all, it bears fruit. And that's what the believer does. There's the fruit of the light. We read that earlier. But someone who hasn't received Christ, all they can do are works, their own efforts, that which is of their own design, and Paul calls them, and those are unfruitful. Those are the unfruitful works of darkness. So don't join in with those. Don't be a party to those. They'll profit nothing. They might think they're earning heaven through their works, but it's not like that. So there's a contrast said here. All those in spiritual darkness can produce are unfruitful works of darkness. But ours is to be a fruit of the Spirit, of being light. And again, that comes from us abiding in Him. It's a result of Him in us. In verse 13 here, it says, But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. He's simply pointing out that as light comes into this world, as light is shown on someone's life, it reveals motives. It reveals what they're about. John 3:19. And this is the condemnation, that the light is coming to the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. That's why so often if you bring up the Lord around some group, oh, don't mention that around here. Don't want to hear about it. Because they don't want to be reminded. They don't want somebody to point out that, you know, that's a dead end. You're headed down. That will get you nowhere good. Come on, that's a misuse of the life God's given you. Come on, He's got so much better. Why? Because they love darkness. They love sin. They don't want the light to expose that. And then the next verse, 3:20, for everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deed should be exposed. So as a Christian, since you are now light, as you hang out with them, your very life sometimes will be what exposes the difference, won't it? As you refuse not to join in with that activity, not to go with that joke, whatever it might be, right away, oh, you think you're so good. It just stirs them up. They don't like that. Sometimes we do share. We'll point out something. Oh, and they really don't want to hear that. But all he's pointing out is it will expose them. It will reveal what they're about. And so many times we get that negative reaction because of it. Verse 14, therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Commentators are a little bit unsure where Paul got this from. For he quotes here, he says, therefore he says. Most tend to say it probably was a worship song in existence in the early church, of which it was taking things about him, or God had declared and put in this kind of a summary form. But it was even more interesting, at least discussed amongst commentators, is this. Who's he talking to? Commentators debate. What's he doing here? Is this talking to unbelievers or believers? Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Somebody, a lot of people argue it must be unbelievers, for certainly they're dead in trespasses and sin, and that has an application here, so maybe that's what's talking to. Well, that works. That's definitely true. They need to wake up. They need to come to Christ. But it's interesting. Most evangelical scholars say no. He's staying right in form. This is a letter to believers, and this is to believers. Well, what's he talking about here then? He's saying, wake up, Christian. And so the call is to us. Is there any danger that any of us have been lulled into an apathy? Even this very message, when you're hearing me reminded once again, that you're light, and God has changed everything. What's it finding in us? He's trying to shake us out of the doldrums, trying to get us out of our apathy, our lethargy about this. And that's what Paul's saying here. Personally, I think it applies to both. I love when Scripture does that. If it's both. If you're an unbeliever, come to Christ. If you've never done that, go to a prayer partner as we wrap it up and let them know you need to make that decision. Or at least go with your questions so they can talk about the Lord with you. But believer, this is stirring us up. Don't take this for granted. Don't get used to it. You're a light. You're changed. Don't have to live like that anymore. We're free. And so he says, wake up. Enjoy it. Celebrate it. But I want to go back now to verse 8. I said we'd camp on it. I want to bring out a few more things about verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. There's two words there that are really pivotal and key. For you were once darkness, but now. But now. Kind of like back in chapter 2. Remember back in chapter 2, starting at verse 1, Paul had pointed out how we used to be dead in trespasses and sins. That our spiritual condition wasn't, we were just kind of weak, just a little bit missing the mark. We were dead in trespasses and sins. And unless something was done from the outside, we had no hope. And so he goes on talking about, because we were that way, we walked according to the course of this world. He talks about all that. We conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, etc., etc. But then verse 4 of chapter 2, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. That before and after, the great after, is set before us there. We were lost. We were dead. We were dark. But God. Have you experienced the change God makes? Have you let that but God be bring to bear upon your life? Receive him that he might do that. But think of that declaration. What's he saying? He says it here again. You once were this way. See, you once were this, but now you're this. That was then. That was then what you were like. That was then what you were into. That's then what happened. But now you're like this. Some people like to kind of wish they could go back. Some people like, oh, the good old days. And you know, you always have those remembrances of when you were young. What's that old saying? The older I get, the better I was. You know, I go out to the ball game now and watch my grandkids play Little League. In my mind, I was the best kid in Little League in the whole town. But I have to sit there often and go, I wonder how bad I really was. Or in high school, maybe you had some great skill, whatever, some point in your life, you think, oh, if I went back, I was so strong then, so handsome then, so whatever you pick. Then you go back, the good old days. They weren't the good old days. Not if it was in your BC condition before the Lord got a hold of us. We were dark and lost and dead. But now, we're light. You're light. I look in the mirror and God says, you're light. And they go, me? He goes, yeah. And they go, wow. And so this week I've just been soaking in. I pray you'll soak in and be stunned by that declaration. Let that old stuff go. He says, I see you now and you are light. Because I'm in you and I bring light with me, he says, and I make you light. I shine my light in, and you are light now. Wonder of wonders. Lord, you mean even though, and that, yep. That was then, but now. Don't miss those words. They're so pivotal. Celebrate the change God has made in you. Let's celebrate the change God has made in us. But now we are light. Walk like it, he's saying. And don't miss this, though, because this is the key thing in it all. How did that change occur? How is the but now applied to my life and yours? How did we go from we were once darkness, but now we're light? Look at the text. What's it say? But you are now light. How? What's it say? Go ahead. Somebody say it. In the Lord. And that's the focus. And all glory to God because of it. What changed everything for us, believers? What brought me from that I was once dark and now I'm light? What take me from the what was then, but now this? In the Lord. The great and awesome change God has made in every single believer. What an awesome, awesome thing. He declared this. Who would be so bold to make this up on their own? God declares this. We are light only because we are in the Lord. But for each one who is in the Lord, you are light. And I could go around the room right now and by name start to saying, you are light. You are light. You are light. And if we could just let it hit us, what he's saying there. For every believer, that declaration is true. You are light. Now, notice that. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. It's only because we're in the Lord and he's in us. He's the one that did it. We are light because we're born of him. As I was saying earlier, because we're born of him, he's implanted his nature, if you will. And we partake of his nature. And we are now light. He pours that into us. We're light because we're born of him who is light. What a change. We are the result, but he is the cause. All glory to him. That is a crucial point, and that's worthy of us celebrating. And to help us do that, we're going to invite the worship team up. We're going to spend some time now responding to that awesome declaration and celebrating that fact that we are now light in the Lord. We once were darkness, but now. Paul has declared that we have God's love now. And he says, now walk in it. That means go live it towards others. Go live it out. Walk in love, he has declared at the beginning of the chapter. And now he says, we are light. Go walk in that. Go shine that light to others. Matthew 5:14, well-known scripture, Matthew 5:14, where he says, you are the light of the world. Heard that somewhere before. We just studied it. You are the, Jesus is saying, Sermon on the Mount, you are the light of the world. And what's he say next? Make sure you keep it a secret. Hide it. Don't let anybody know about it. No. You are the light of the world. What's he say? A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Go shine it out to this world that needs light. We've gone from being dark to being light. What life is like now compared to then. Think of it. What purpose this gives us. What privilege it gives us. Each one of us. We are born of God. He is light. Thus, we're light in him. So the invitation right now, think of it. You are light. Think of it. Soak in it. And right now, rejoice in it. Father, stir us out of any apathy about it. And I pray now that you'll find all of our hearts seeking to glorify you and rejoicing and worshiping for the change you've made. In Jesus' name, amen.